What happens is it has the ability to snap back into place, and that bad thought, that negative habit, that thing that you're doing that you don't want to do anymore, that you've tried so hard to stop doing, guess what happens? Attaches itself back to the root. And there you have it. Your bad thoughts, they continue. Hi everybody, welcome back to the Model Me podcast. Happy 2024. If I haven't seen you, if we haven't spoken yet, my name's Natasha. I am the founder and director of Model Me, and I am so thrilled to be with you here today. And I always feel so posh when I say so thrilled. So I'm Northern English, and I actually am a bit Norwegian too. Fun fact for you. And sometimes I just think when I'm trying to speak and enunciate my words, I come out with like some posh words. And my sisters up north, they rip me. So I kind of just, let me correct myself. I hope that you're doing so well. I am so excited to get into this podcast with you. I've literally been preparing it for the last couple of hours and had a pretty good idea of what I wanted to share this time. But I also just wanted to, I was thinking like, you know, if this is the first podcast that someone has watched of Model Me's, and it's the first podcast of 2024 that we've watched, if you've not seen the burnout episode that we did, that we released over a week or so ago, I want to encourage you to go back and watch that, because I think some of the things I say today are also linked to that. You will learn very quickly about me that I talk about burnout regularly because I feel that there's such a lack of understanding and also a lack of solution around burnout as a topic. And I think if you live like I do in London, in this Western world, in the UK, I just think it's such a part of our, rhythm. And we are just so socially accepting of burnout, and I don't understand it. And it drives me crazy, because if you think about the fact that, like, you know, my mission and my purpose that I really feel on this earth is to help people understand who they really are. And a big part of that is understanding what rest looks like for you, and, you know, what burnout looks like, how it affects you, how it literally trickles down to every area of your life. So yeah, I'm just really excited to get into some stuff today with you that I really feel is going to help you change your life in 2024. So there's three things that I'm going to talk about today in terms of really how you can change your life in 2024. There are a few things actually that I personally believe that would massively change your life and the way you are living your life in 2024. But I just thought we'll start with three, okay? We'll start with three. Let's not get overwhelmed. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. Let's not be crazy. If you know me, you know I'm quite high energy. This is me on a normal day. And I just love reading things that really change my mind. I love reading things that make me wanna go, whoa, let me just do a quick reframe and self-regulate and ask myself, what am I doing right now and where is it taking me? And I think when I was starting to write this podcast up, because I mean, this isn't obvious, but I like to plan, I like to prep, I like to journal, write down things and think about what I've been thinking about recently, especially such a pivotal time at the start of the year to think about what you've been thinking about. I mean, actually, that's the kind of value I have in my life that I try to stick by all year long, that I'm always thinking about what I'm thinking about, because it massively impacts your whole being. And I think it was episode 3 that I speak in detail about that, and actually about, you know, the neurocycle and how it was a beautiful thing that I learned last year, actually, that you can change your mind. You can change your mind. It's so important to think about what you're thinking about, because imagine it's like, do you know what I'm going to share? I'm going to share a vision that I had last week that I felt really blessed to get, to be honest with you. And I really hope it blesses you as well. So, you know, when they, forgive me, I really don't know certain terms and I've never gardened in my life. Imagine there's like a field, okay? And you are planting seeds, right? You're sowing the seeds. And I had this vision of what happens. And if you actually look at what a neuron in your brain looks like, it actually looks like a tree or like a root. And it's crazy, because the vision I got was what we do as people is we do the weeding, right? We go through the garden and we weed the garden and we pull up the weeds. But what happens is we don't discard of them properly. We just leave them there on the ground. And so what happens is this negative thought, a bad thought will kind of like come, swim along, try and like distract you and get to you and get back in the roots of your brain. And what happens, I had this image of when you do the weeding and you don't discard of the weed properly, like imagine you just leave the weed on the soil next to where you've just done the weeding, what happens is it has the ability to snap back into place. And that bad thought, that negative habit, that thing that you're doing that you don't want to do anymore, that you've tried so hard to stop doing, guess what happens? It doesn't fall away. Like you've tried to get rid of it, it attaches itself back to the root. And there you have it. Your bad thoughts, they continue, they carry on, and you haven't dealt with it properly. So I want to encourage you as you begin 2024. I did not plan to share that with you, so I just pray and hope it blesses somebody. As you begin 2024, what are the thoughts, the habits, the things that you started to get rid of next year, but you haven't quite got rid of them fully? And I would encourage you to start there. If you're feeling a bit overwhelmed and the year's begun, you're like, I don't know where to begin. Like, start there. And let me share three other things that are going to change your life in 2024. So the first one that we're going to talk about is the power of self-discipline. Mm-hmm. I love this. I love this. And also it's like, OMG, I'm not very good at this. So there's actually an incredible proverb that I'm going to read to you, which really rocked me this morning. It's talking about ants. We all know what an ant is, right? So it says, the ants have no chief, no boss, no manager. No one has to tell them what to do. I don't know about you, but that kind of makes me go, oh! So I want to share a story with you as we dig into this idea of the power of self-discipline. So I used to do calisthenics back in 2022 with this amazing teacher called Mayor, and then he decided to go traveling. So I decided to stop going calisthenics instead of just finding another teacher that would have been, you know, just as amazing and good. But the thing is, I have scoliosis. And so sometimes I'm quite selective. I'm selective anyway. I think it's important that you take note of who you spend your time with in every way, shape and form. And I love working out, I love fitness. I try and work out 4 times a week. I'm trying to get back to 5, bear with me. And I find it important who I train with. And so basically Mayor, he understands my scoliosis, he understands how my body works, and he works with me on that. Not to say that other teachers don't, it's just that I got really comfortable with going to him with my calisthenics. And I was doing well, guys. I was like nearly able to do a pull-up unassisted. I was getting there. Now you might be sitting there thinking, I have no idea what calisthenics is. What are you talking about? And I don't really know what to say to you apart from Google is your friend. No, I'm kidding. It's kind of like body weight strength, right? So it's pull-ups, press-ups, you work on skills like shoulder stands, which I did one last week, feeling very accomplished. So 30th of December, I get back to London from being up north for a week, and I decided I'm going to go back to calisthenics. And guess who was teaching? Mayor. So I go back to calisthenics, and I kid you not, I couldn't move my shoulders for 4 days. For 4 days, I couldn't put my arms above here. I'm not joking. By day 4, I finally was able to go like this, and it felt like, I don't know, like I got my body back. It was so bizarre. But we call those DOMS. Don't ask me what they stand for. No idea. Again, we love Google. Google doesn't sponsor Model Me yet. Maybe one day I talk about Google that much, I feel like it should happen. Anyway, so it's amazing though, the lessons and the things that I got from the muscle pain. And I know, that just bear with me, it will make sense. So I think people use this analogy a lot, like in the personal development space, let's say, and the well-being space. They use the analogy a lot of your muscles being ripped and then pieced back together again. And I don't really think that analogy makes much sense to you unless you've actually gone through it. And what I realized is I was going through that. And like my boyfriend reminded me so wonderfully, is that that's like change, right? I'm changing my body. I've decided after over a year of not going to calisthenics that I'm gonna go back. So by going back, what I'm doing is like literally, I don't know the science behind it, but like ripping the muscles for them to like piece back together again. And I was in so much pain. I love sleeping on my front. I couldn't even sleep on my front. I couldn't put my arms up here to sleep on my face. I couldn't like sit up, like, you know, when you prop yourself, none of that, forget it. For like 3.5 days, I was in the most pain with my shoulders and it was just so sore. Even like on New Year's Eve, I went for dinner with my friends and I couldn't even reach to get the salt and pepper without wincing. I was like, it was so funny. Everything was heavy. A cup of coffee was heavy. Like, anyway, so I share that with you because when we talk about the power of self-discipline, change takes work. Some things are not going to happen overnight. Some things are not going to radically just change. Some things, yes, right? Hello, some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of those decisions that we make, they are immediate. I watched this amazing interview, I'm just going to say, with this guy called James. And he was speaking about being saved is instant. Deliverance takes time. So I know you're thinking, oh my gosh, Natasha, all of a sudden we're talking about deliverance. I know. But what I'm trying to say is changing your life, changing your thoughts, changing your habits, it takes time. But guess what? Can be done. It can be done, my friends. So I want to talk about the power of self-discipline in terms of taking care of your finances, of your work, of your well-being. And I think, well, let's use an example. Anybody else getting to the end of Jan, you know, the end of the self-assessment tax year, at least in the UK, and how many of you are like me and always leave it till January? And I'm like, every year, why do I not set aside time in November, in October to just do it, right? Or even like summer. I mean, but who wants to do that in summer? Nobody. And yeah, to be honest with you, I've not done it for a couple of years because I've not been freelance for a couple of years. But last year I did do some freelance work, so I do need to do it. And honestly, I can sit here and kind of like berate myself for it, or I can look at the positive things that I've already started to change. Remember I said at the beginning of the podcast, what can you look back on over 2023 and be proud of that you've begun to change, begun to make a new pathway in your life with? And for me, I am going to be really, really proud of myself and say, I actually started to look and track my finances and budgeting, which is something I have never done. I don't come from money. My family never taught me about money. I don't know if my family were ever taught about money. And so that's what happens, right? Is people aren't educated around certain things. A lot of the time it's because their families didn't teach them. And so I've really tried to educate myself. I've really tried to start looking at budgeting better and finance tracking and all that kind of stuff. And I've, you know, had some great friends that have helped me as well. And honestly, one thing that works really well for me is this thing called the 5 jars technique. There's a really fantastic book by, I think it's by Craig Hill, actually. And he talks about the 5 jars. So when you get paid, whether that's weekly, monthly, or, you know, really irregularly, then what I do when I have those 5 jars is I have a pot for tithing. So that's really a conversation for another day, but it's like where I give my money back to God. So I have a pot for tithing. I have a pot for like offerings and giftings. So if it's someone's birthday, or it's just a pot that like, if I really feel I want to give someone money or buy someone something, I have that readily available. Then I have a pot for investing. I have a pot for saving. And finally, I have a pot for spending, which is my biggest pot out of those, out of like my weekly or monthly, whatever paycheck. And honestly, I think, you know, that's really helped me understand and budget and navigate like where my money is actually going. Because I don't know about you, but before I started doing that, I literally would just get paid, spend the money, make sure I had enough to pay my rent, make sure I had enough to do travel. You know, in London, travel is so crazy expensive, but I don't like talking and complaining about things because I live in one of the greatest cities in the world. And I grew up in a village where you couldn't just hop on the tube and go anywhere. And I feel it would be really, really silly of me to complain. So I just think it's really important that we start to track these things, because if you can start to track things like your finances, your well-being, your working life, I think actually what you'll see over time is there's progress, and who doesn't want progress, right? So another thing that I really wanted to discuss with you guys today in terms of self-discipline, and I feel like I'm really coming from a new perspective, a new I suppose, way of thinking that really I've never had before, because I've never been full time on my business the way that I am now. And it's literally like, it's so exciting and it's such answered prayer and it's also petrifying. And my friend texted me the other day and was like, how are you doing, like, running your own schedule? And I was like, I hate it. I hate it. Like, one of the things that I really, I suppose, love is like knowing where I need to be at certain times. And to be honest, I think that's what I'm very grateful for, you know, gym classes, because that allows me to have some sort of structure in my week. And you know, what I'm saying might resonate with at all, because you might work a 9 till 6, or, you know, you might do what I used to do and be a waiter, like whatever it is. But I think it's just so important to find that rhythm and that schedule. And I have noticed such a difference with not having it. So I thought it would be interesting to share some of the things that I've done in terms of self-discipline with figuring out my new schedule, because I know a lot of the people that are going to watch this are either business owners like I am, or they're freelancers, or, you know, maybe you do a couple of different things. And it's just so important, I think, to run your schedule and not let your schedule run you. Otherwise, you just end up running around, right? So I think one of the things that I have really got to grips with doing, which I never used to do on a regular basis, is set up my week ahead. So like plan my week ahead and write down the goals for my week ahead. Now, it's really, really interesting, because I had this moment literally this week where Monday came and I hadn't planned my week ahead, and I saw my business partner that day and she was like, what are you working on today? Like, I can help you. And I was like, because all I knew was that we needed to have this meeting. I didn't know how long it was going to be. It was really important that we did that meeting. And everything else was kind of like, I was going to work around that. I was going to plan after I'd done the meeting. Never again. I'm, from this moment on, always going to be planning on a Sunday night, so that when I wake up Monday morning, it is ready, my week is set and it's planned. And obviously, the beautiful thing about working for yourself is you can move things and change things. And I'll talk about my Google Calendar in a minute, because that has been a real good way to feel productive and also be productive. So I actually use Grace Beverly's business planner that I actually forgot that I pre-ordered, and then it arrived and I was like, oh yeah, I ordered that. So she has this amazing like weekly planning section, which first has like weekly goals, and then it goes to like a weekly schedule, and it's kind of like tracked hour by hour. I don't really look at this all through the week, but I will look at it like every couple of days or so. And so a weekly goals, it has on that page, it has one reminder of why I'm pursuing my passion this week, which I just think is so powerful, to remind yourself of what it is that you're doing and the why. The why is so important. And then it has a notes section, which, if you know me, I live in this section because I love notes taking. And at the beginning of the diary, she talks about like how, like, you and your business, and like setting your goals for your business, and like financial targets, operational targets, growth targets. And I just love that in that weekly goal planning, she's reminding you, she's set something up that allows you to remind yourself, okay, what goal is this specific task gonna get me towards? And I think that's really important, especially when you work for yourself, because, you know, I do everything at Model Me. I do all the marketing, I do the brand partnerships, I do the reaching out to new people, I do the private messaging to getting back to people, I invite people to the events, I do the event planning, I run the events, like, you get the picture. I do it all, and that's how I have built the business. I love that, and I, you know, I'm just so, I love it so much. There are parts of it I definitely love more than others, no doubt. You know, there's so much that you have. If you're a business owner, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So much you want to do, and like vision and planning and strategy, but then you're also like literally on the ground running the business, doing the events at the same time. And I find that juggle quite difficult, to be honest with you, sometimes, but very grateful to have my friend. And also my other friends, then, you know exactly who you are, who I have brainstormed with and spoken to and vented about stuff and, yeah, asked for advice. And actually, my boyfriend has been an amazing help before Christmas with setting me homework and helping me be accountable to him. And that's like actually my second point for being disciplined with your work, is actually being accountable. I live off being accountable. I'm such a study work girl, to be honest with you. When I was younger and I was at university and high school, I loved studying. I didn't need much of a reason to study. I just loved it. And a part of me thinks, you know, maybe it was escapism as well, but that's a conversation for another day. And I just loved the idea of like progressing and getting better at something. And I just want to encourage you that it's such a good thing to set yourself up being accountable with someone. And maybe, you know, you don't have a business partner like me, or, you know, a boyfriend that knows exactly about what you're trying to do so can help you directly. But maybe you do have a friend that you trust and that you love, who you can just talk to and brainstorm and brain dump with. And I think it's really important that we look for those people in our lives. It could even be your mum for some of you. Like, you know, I know that me and my mum have discussed business in the past, and in some ways we still do, but in very different ways that we used to. And I just, yeah, I think it's such a massive thing to help you get things done. Like, even one email I sent last week to my boyfriend was literally just my to-do list, my weekly goals, and stuff that I wanted to get done that week. And I didn't need him to reply to me. I didn't even need him to say, like, this is great, well done. I did it for myself, because I knew if I had emailed him and been clear about what I was going to do, I was going to hold myself accountable to it, because I hate letting myself down. And it's another reason why I like doing the weekly goals, because you've written it down, you hold yourself accountable. And I had a goal last week that I didn't do. I didn't get around to doing, and I didn't like berate myself for it. I just said, all right, cool, we do it this week instead. And actually I'm doing it, because the goal was to film the podcast. So we're doing it, woohoo! My third and final thing for self-discipline that really helps me with my work is my Google Calendar. So I think it's such a great way. It's just important, I think, to know yourself, right? I know about myself that I thrive off being accountable with someone. That's what I know about myself. It's also important to know the things you don't know about yourself. And I had a kind of stark wake-up call, I would literally say, in the last couple of weeks, where there were days where I had things in the diary, you know, my day was set out, it was all planned, and I felt really productive. And there were days where I didn't have that, but I knew I'd done stuff, and I knew I'd filled things off my checklist and worked towards the things I needed to do, but I felt so unproductive and like I hadn't done anything. And you've got to know yourself, right? Know yourself. I know myself enough to know what is going to help me and what's not going to help me. So my Google Calendar is a big thing that helps me. I do time blocking. I write in the specific things that I might be doing, whether it's marketing, it might be social media content creation, it might be brand partnerships planning, it might be posting the event online, it could be planning the podcast. And I think, yeah, it's important to be generous with your time when you're figuring out how long does that take me. Planning this podcast definitely took me a lot longer than I thought it would, but I got a lot out of the research that I was doing, which I'm going to share some great piece of research with you later. So, three things for self-discipline with work, just to recap. One, plan your week ahead. Two, be accountable to somebody. And three, use time blocking. Okay, so the power of self-discipline. I'm on to my third and final point with this, which is the power of self-discipline in your well-being. Now, I think there are obvious things like the basics of a good night's sleep, right? But I think the self-discipline element of that for me is having a bedtime routine and actually going to bed early enough and winding down early enough, because I think sometimes my brain can be so active. Like, I was on a prayer call with my friends and we got off the phone, but my mind was just awake. And it's stuff like that. It could be that I've been working on my business late and that keeps me awake. So it's important to wind down. And I think it's basic, you know, like we all know I need my sleep. I need a good night's sleep. I'm a different person if I don't sleep. Yeah, I think we all know the basics, but do we actually do the things that help us with the basics, like have self-discipline around our sleep? That's another question, right? So I also think there's essentials that nobody talks about. So for me, when it comes to discipline in my well-being, to making sure that actually I am well, which is the most important thing, actually, like your health is the most important thing. If you are not healthy and well, forget it. You can't be a good friend. You can't do the business that you want to do. You can't even go to the gym. Like, you have to focus on what is keeping you well. And that's mentally, emotionally, and physically, if you're asking me. So I think the essentials that no one talks about for me are things like praying, planning your week ahead, make sure you schedule social time. I think that's so important. Boundaries with how much you work, and consuming content that helps you grow and impacts you positively. Because, I mean, I'm sure I'll talk about that at some point in this podcast. If I don't, I always do. It's so important to watch, to check and watch what you're watching. We can talk more in detail, don't worry. I think that a couple of things around your well-being that are just important to, that I felt like I could share were, well, a couple of things I used to be rubbish at, which now I've got much better at, is 1, boundaries, 2, resting, and 3, overworking, which resulted in burnout. And I think, you know, there's a couple of things I'm still working on, like my nighttime routine and my meal prepping. And I'm sure that when I feel like I've got those down, there'll be other things that I'm working on. And I think it's important to know that, you know, you're on a journey, you're always going to be tracking and progressing in different areas of your life. And I think for me, those two things are huge for me right now, because 1, I'm working on my business all the time, full time, it's crazy. And I'm at home a lot more, but also I'm trying to change my sleep routine. And the truth is, I've been a waiter for 15 years, so I am not used to going to bed like earlier than 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm just not used to it. That's not the way I've lived my life, like my whole life. So yeah, I'm trying to change that. And I think with these 3 things that I've just shared, I still have to track now, making sure that I don't slip back into bad habits or bad behaviors with them. So for example, with my boundaries, I used to overshare a lot. Instagram for me used to be like my personal journal. And, you know, Instagram is not your journal. And, you know, Instagram is not what it used to be when it was created. And hello, if you remember the day that Instagram came out, like, so funny. So funny. And I'm now, I definitely don't overshare like I used to. We thank God I have changed. I definitely don't overshare. And I did really used to tell people way too much. And, you know, people, first of all, don't deserve to know that much about certain things in your life. But secondly, you need to protect yourself. Like, don't share everything online. I think there are boundaries with what you should share, but I can't tell you what those boundaries are for you. You have to figure out those boundaries for yourself, because you have to get to know yourself and figure out what am I comfortable with. And I think that another thing that I have to really check with my well-being and, you know, making sure that I've got self-discipline is how much I work, especially now my schedule is all on me, because I really enjoy my work. I love this business. I'm so excited thinking about what's next. Like, it kind of feels like, even though Model Me is 6 years old nearly, it feels like I'm at the beginning of a brand new business, because I have got more time and more clarity than I've ever had on what we're doing, where we're going, how we're going to help people, how we're going to change people's minds and lives. And that just drives me so much. And so I have to be really disciplined that I'm not, you know, working like an insane amount of time through the days and going to bed really late and getting up early. I have to prioritize my sleep, because if I prioritize my sleep, oh my gosh, the Natasha that turns up, if I've slept well, is like, she's on, you know, like I've got the turbo fire that I really need and want. And I want to be able to go out into the world and help people and see people as I truly believe that I can see them. But if I'm tired, if I've not slept enough, if I've worked too much the day before and I'm wiped out, I'm not going to be the person that I want to be for those other people. And I think I know that that's one of my gifts, that I can walk into a room and I can see somebody and I can let them know that they are seen, they are welcome here, and they do belong. And I think I've got to know that, like, for me to be in the best place that I can be to turn up and to help those people, I have got to have my rest. My well-being has got to be something I prioritize and look at. Otherwise, I'm not going to be able to serve people in the way I really believe that I can. I try to make sure now as well, like within that, that I have at least one day off a week. And that day off for me is really a good time of rest. I'm getting back to a place where I'm not going to do social media on those days. Even now, I don't really make plans with anyone on those days. On a rare occasion, I'll do it. But it's a wonderful thing to be able to really take that time out, you know, to actually like chill, zone out, rest, and just reset, you know. The day after, how I feel is just always so great because I've actually taken the time to chill. And I think, again, in this country, in this part of the world, we don't talk about that nowhere near enough. And we also don't provide those solutions. So I hope what I've just shared with you can help you think, oh, maybe I'm not necessarily prioritizing my rest. The first thing you could do is schedule it in. If you schedule it in, for me, it happens. But that's where I had to begin. So I am going to move on to my next point around what's going to change your life in 2024. I really believe the importance of relationship is massive. And I think if we don't focus on relationship in our lives and community, I just really feel like we're lacking as people. And, you know, a big thing we talk a lot about at Model Me is community. And I just want to encourage you to put yourself in community this year. So I think it's important to note that not everybody deserves full access to your life. Remember what I said about social media? I would say the same about friendships and relationships. Not everybody deserves full access, but there are some people that hopefully you can build that close relationship with, that you can really, you know, trust them and believe that they've got the best intentions for you. And I think sometimes to have a friend like that, you need to be a friend like that. And I think it's so crucial to a person's mental health and well-being to have friends like that in your life. And if you don't necessarily have those friends yet, I want to encourage you. I can guarantee you will come to a Model Me event and you will walk out with a new friend. And I think that's been a beautiful thing that we have created at Model Me. There is an atmosphere when you walk into that room that people who come alone, I really feel they feel so accepted. I mean, the testimonies speak for themselves. We have got so many testimonies of people walking into that space and feeling accepted. And I really want people to know that actually friends are vital for your life. There's actually a book called Vital Friends that I wanted to share with you guys and, you know, help you with understanding maybe what kind of friend you are, but also the kind of friends that you have and that you need around you. So there's a book called Vital Friends. Forgive me, I cannot remember the name of the person that it's by. And they talk about like the 8 different vital friends that you need in your life. And we talk a lot about this at our events, about how you might not always have that one friend that can maybe be that champion and also at the same time be, let's say, the builder in your life. And so I know, for example, I'm an encourager. The book would label me, I suppose, as a champion. But I know that my friends, if they need encouragement, I know that they would call me and ask me, and I'm relentless with my encouragement with my friends because I truly do believe in what they're doing and who they are as a person. And I also feel that sometimes, I mean, it's definitely something I've witnessed and been on a journey in myself, is we do all have a light inside of us, but a lot of the time we don't see it or recognize it, and we need other people to spot that in us and bring it out in us. And so that's just a really big thing for me. Like if I see something in one of my friends, I'm going to make sure they know about it so that they can be encouraged to walk the path that is ahead of them and the path that they're destined to be on. I would say another thing I am is a connector. So if I'm sat with you and I hear you talk about what you're looking for or what you need, immediately in my mind, I'm thinking, who do I help that? Who do I know that can help you? Who do I know that can help you get to where you need to get to? And I recently did this with a friend of mine and just immediately connected him with this other person that I knew. Not because I thought the other person even had work or a job connection. I just knew the conversation would be helpful. Yeah, it's a really wonderful thing to know what kind of friends you've got around you and also know the kind of person that you are. Like, I know that my friends know that about me, and I can also tell you what friends I've got around me that are builders, that really want to help my business grow, and other connectors that want to introduce me to people that are going to help my business flourish or help me grow as a person as well. And it really got me thinking recently. I was sharing something about, I think, my friends, and I was reminded of how lonely I was and how lonely I felt. I literally have goosebumps telling you this. When I first came to London, and I share that with you because I want you to know that if you're lonely right now and if you don't have that group of friends, if you're, you know, you don't have close friendships yet. I want you to know it's not always going to be like that. When I came to London, I was definitely looking for friends in the wrong places. I was, you know, and at the same time, I think I was just exploring. I was very adventurous because I just was like, I wanted to find friends. I wanted to feel accepted in this big, bold, brave new city that I was living in. And I was so inspired by what I was witnessing around me, but I definitely felt quite alone. And I think if you'd asked me at the time if I was lonely, I never would have been able to say yes, because I don't even think I knew that I was lonely. And now that I have such close friendships, I can look back and go, wow, like, I don't know what I did in, I don't know how I live my life without the friends I've got now. And I'm so thankful that, you know, for the temporary friendships that I had at the time. I had these, you know, two guys I met at a gallery opening. I was modeling at the time, so I would constantly be invited to these random, fun, interesting things full of arty people. And yeah, I met these really two fun guys who were just awesome and just really took me under their wing and like would take me to different gallery openings. I think I was going to one like every week or every other week or something, and just visiting something new and interesting and completely different to what I was used to. So yeah, I'm really grateful for that. But I want to encourage you that if you haven't found your people yet, like, it's okay, you know, like, especially in a city like London, like, your people around the corner. I just want to encourage you to keep on doing different things. And I know that's probably especially different if you're an introvert, but especially at Model Me, you're so welcome to come. You're so, so welcome at Model Me. Okay, so we are going to talk about the third pivotal thing that I really feel is going to change your life in 2024. So very simply, it is watch what you say. I have got a few proverbs that I want to share with you that have literally rocked me. Recently, one rocked me this morning and I was like, this is so timely. So I heard this proverb recently that says, watch out for troublemakers and don't be one. And so I wanted to share with you, like, you can be a troublemaker with the words that you use. And I think it's really important that we watch what we say this year about each other people's businesses. You know, if your friend, if you're there and you are a person that has your own business, your own project, you're a creative or whatever it is that you're going on, that you're doing for yourself, and you have a friend like that too, I want to encourage you, support your friend. I'm so not okay with the spirit of comparison that we really have in today's world. And I really feel that we individually have to take authority and make sure that we are not thinking comparative thoughts about our friends, our friends' businesses, what our friends are being blessed with. Let us not be people that have a spirit of comparison running through us, because honestly, it is so, so dangerous. It's so dangerous what you could do to that other person and their business. And so I just, yeah, let me just start with that. Like, I didn't know I was going to go down that road, but let me start with that. I really want to share this proverb that really rocked me this morning. So it says, can you bridle your tongue when your heart is under pressure? That is how you show that you are wise. An understanding heart keeps you cool, calm, and collected no matter what you're facing. When even a fool bites his tongue, he's considered wise. So shut your mouth when you are provoked and it will make you smart. Whew! That is Proverbs 17, 27, 28, if you want to go read it in the Passion Translation. Now, I'm the kind of person that sometimes I'll read a scripture and I'll be like, I need to research. So I went to go and research, what is a bridle? Now, I know a bridle is headgear on a horse, but I wanted more definition. So a bridle is the headgear used to control a horse, and it consists of buckle straps which have a bit and reins that are attached to it. So then I went and researched basically what happens if you don't have a bridle on a horse, okay? So I read this whole article from this amazing woman called Julie, written in 2015, which sounds like such a long time ago. And she was talking about how you need a bridle to train your horse to a high level. You can't just get on a horse and train it without a bridle. You actually need a bridle to first train a horse, okay? And once the horse has proven himself to be obedient and responsive, that's when you can start to train without the bridle. And they call it bridleless. So The ideal bridleless horse is well-tempered and well-trained. The horse is calm and has a willing attitude and has a strong work ethic, good manners, and hates to get into trouble. So let's link it back. I'm saying, well, the proverb is saying about, can you bridle your tongue when your heart is under pressure? So imagine that someone has brought a problem to you, maybe at work, or your friend has said something to you, or maybe you've been misunderstood. I mean, I've had this happen to me recently. And the question is, can you control your tongue when your heart is under pressure, when you are feeling attacked, when you are feeling like, I don't understand what's going on right now, and this is so unjustified? Are you able to control your tongue? Because honestly, your tongue can get you into trouble. And we need to be people that really do have that calm and willing attitude, as it talks about with the horse. Can you be willing to listen and keep your mouth shut when someone is provoking you, when they are trying to get to you and trying to get you to lash out? I want to encourage you this year to be somebody that can say, do you know what? I am not fighting back with my tongue. I am going to stay silent. I'm going to go away. I'm going to go think about this. I'm going to sleep on it. I'm going to maybe process it with a friend before I go back. We need to watch our words in 2024, because they really do cause life and death for some people. You know that phrase that you hear when you were growing up, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. What a lie that phrase is. Some of us have words that were spoken to us years and years ago that we carry on us like bricks on our back. And it's so incredibly crucial that we start to think about the words that we're speaking and the words that we're receiving, and let, like I said earlier about those seeds being planted on that ground, what are the words that are being sown into your ground? And if you're not careful, they are going to create poisonous roots that are going to live and fester in your heart, and they will end up, I mean, this is what offense is, right? When you have poisonous roots sitting in your heart, and you build your heart, you build a cage around your heart, and you decide, that's it, I'm not going to love anybody, I'm not going to get close to anybody, I'm not going to have close friends, I'm going to isolate myself. And that is the really dangerous thing about 2024 that I feel has continued really from 2023, the last couple of years. It's like this idea of like, you don't need anybody by yourself. You don't need anybody to do well in this life. You just need you and yourself. Like, forget it. You don't need friends. Just be an island and isolate yourself. And honestly, I want to come against that so strongly, and I want to encourage you to not be a person that allows yourself to slip into that rhythm and that behavior. I'm going to leave you today with a really encouraging proverb that has really spoke such wonderful things to me this morning as I was really diving into this bridle and controlling my tongue and what that looks like, and being aware. And that's been a real journey for me. Like, I come from being quite a feisty young teenager that was not afraid to say what I think. I mean, I'm still not, but I tried to keep my tongue on reins a little bit more than what I used to. And I think it's just really important that we watch how we speak to people. We watch what we're saying. We watch, you know, how we're encouraging. And if you don't have anything encouraging to say, then maybe we shouldn't be saying it. And really just trusting that that person perhaps has got those trusted, safe friends that they can confide in, that also equally challenge that person and say, hey, I'm not sure that you should be saying that or talking like that or doing that. And that's the beautiful thing that links back to what I said earlier about friendship and about relationship and having deep relationship with somebody well enough that they could turn around and say, I'm not quite sure about what you're doing right now. Final proverb says, nothing is more appealing than speaking beautiful, life-giving words, for they release sweetness to our souls and inner healing to our spirits. And honestly, I just really want to encourage you to speak life-giving words, speak beautiful words. We actually have our dear friend Cara has an amazing podcast called the Honey Words Podcast. And the crux of that podcast really comes from this proverb in another version, which says, kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy for the body. And I just really want to encourage you today that actually, as we start to live out 2024, we start to think about how we want to live and the things that we want to do to make a better life for ourselves and the people around us, I want to encourage you that not only, you know, do I want you to speak life-giving words, but I want you to know as well that you are worthy of life-giving words, and that you are words, you are worthy of word, of kind words like honey. I love that. Kind words like honey, sweet to the soul. And I think it's so important that we have principles that we live by and that are connected to our values and the kind of people that we want to be. And as we step out into the world, asking ourselves, you know, who do I want to be? Who do I want to become? And knowing that actually you can change. You can change. Don't let the lies of this world make you believe that you're stuck as you are right now. It's just not true. It's really not true. And I want you to know that you don't need to do this life alone. And I'm so excited to see you at one of our next events, whether that's online or in person. I'm really excited to journey out 2024 with you. I am, yeah, more pumped up than I've ever been with this business. And I have to just say a big thank you to every single one of you that constantly feeds the testimonial tank, I'll call it, of wonderful ways that this business impacts you. Thank you for allowing me to have the courage to step into doing this full time. I'm so excited and excited to share it with you as well and just be really real about some of the things that we face. And I hope that today has really helped you. I hope it's ministered to you in some way. If you have any questions, if you want to reach out to me personally, always, always, you are so welcome to. We are on TikTok, it's modelme_, Instagram is model_me. My personal Instagram is Natasha Minter, and I would love to speak and connect with you. If you've got any questions, please put them in the chat below, whether it's on YouTube or Spotify or Apple, wherever you're connected with us. Yeah, just want to encourage you, please feel free to reach out to us. And I just want to say thank you so much for listening to this first podcast. I would love to know what you think. So yeah, please feel free to get in touch, and I'll see you very soon.